bit of practical philosophy now. Everything that any of us knows, our knowledge, all our memories, bits of information, it all resides in us in this complex and wonderful and sometimes misshapen bag of symbols called our language. Our brain connects pictures of faces to names.
Mama.
And a baby learns to say mama. The brain maps sounds of objects onto audio and visual symbols, words. Ear hears this. Brain delivers the word clock, or horloge in French, reloj in Spanish, ur in German, shijong in Chinese, etc. Well, Rachel Jablow's story is the story of losing all those words for the sounds, pictures, and images of life she knew well. Her knowledge didn't change. It was the words that vanished. My Days of Losing Words is a book of powerful images that shows how photography became her pathway back to words when her brain, as a consequence of severe migraines, failed her.
I've been doing photography for over 20 years now. And when I got sick 5 years ago, I had this profound loss associated with language. When I first got sick, I literally could not speak. My synapses were kind of fried between my brain and my mouth, and the pain level was so high that I couldn't get words out. And then I went on to taking a daily medication, and that allowed me to get the pain level down to where I could speak, but then I started forgetting words. And I finally came up with the idea of using photographs as sort of visual mnemonics.
Part of what's great about this book, too, is unlike a lot of photography books where you can't really play along, you have to just look at the pictures and that's the way it is, and maybe there are some captions. In this book, and particularly the way it's designed, you can look at the photo, and then because the word that's associated with it isn't like right next to it, you kind of have to think to yourself, all right, what's this word? And I'm particularly struck by the photo called soup. It is the last word I would have chosen. I would have gone stove, hot, lunch. And the soup that you chose is obviously taken right out of the freezer from some sort of Tupperware container. So it doesn't even look like soup. It looks like a block of something. Why did you choose this?
So when you're sick, you have to plan ahead. And I ended up making a lot of homemade soup that I would freeze. And at some point, I took out this block of soup from the freezer and put it in the pot. And as I was looking at it, it made me laugh. And because it looked nothing like what it would end up being, it's sort of representative of so much of my life because it's so surreal.
Did you really lose the word soup and needed a way to?
Yeah.
You did. So it's not only is this picture of soup, frozen block in pot on stove with the burner on, it's also life of girl who lives from frozen soup to frozen soup, right?
Exactly.
I'm curious about melting because if I'm going to be like a public radio stickler for definitions, that pill that's melting on the edge of the sink is actually dissolving, right?
It totally is.
So why melting here?
One of the things that I was finding is that I would lose pills. I mean, and as you saw in the book, there are many sort of dirty and kind of forlorn pills.
Yes.
All over the place.
Uh-huh.
And I would forget about pills all over the house, and I would find them under things and in odd places, and I would sort of set one down and then later come back to it and find them in just puddles and everywhere.
So this photo is you looking at this pill going, what is that doing? What is that doing? And you realize it's melting. And I'm thinking in my mind that the melting you're talking about is like the witch in The Wizard of Oz who
it totally is, yeah.
And the pill's a witch.
I think all of these pills represent how they're supposed to be these little saviors. These are the things that are supposed to get us better, and they never do. And they always come at a price. And I wanted to show them as not as these little beacons of hope, but as what they really do. They let us down.
Hmm. There was one photo in the book that I started with the word and then went to find the picture because I was so intrigued by the word, and the word was desire. The photograph is a complete shock when you come to it because it doesn't, you know, I mean, I can think of a lot of things that invoke desire, but this image is not one of them. A shelf of out-of-focus books with a mirror on the wall and then a table with a candle on it in focus in front of an armoire with a mirror that's facing the camera.
Well, the one thing that's in focus in the mirror is the books.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yes.
And one of the things that happened to me along with losing my language skills is losing the ability to read. Before the migraine came on, I used to read big, meaty books. After the headache came on, I really had a difficult time reading anything more complicated than, say, Twilight or Harry Potter. Losing that really killed me. I still, to this day, even though I'm so much better, my attention span is such that I still have a hard time reading books.
So the story in that image is you're yearning to kind of climb into that mirror where the books are in focus.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the impression of looking at these beautiful pictures, some of which are landscapes, some of which are flowers, some of which are compelling sort of moments in a kitchen, on a dining room table. When we do see you as just someone who's observing these pictures, I so want to know what's going on inside your head. That is there kind of a progression as you move through this book of getting more of a sense of, all right, less of a loss and more of gain that you're getting on
exactly.
top of it? Is that the feeling?
That is exactly what's happening. I wanted there to be a progression from illness to health. This is the story of me getting better. And I wanted it to give hope to people.
Rachel Jablow, author of My Days of Losing Words, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.